know, it's kind of neat when you're dealing with a new believer and having the opportunity to tell them that Jesus is going to come back again. If you've ever told that to someone who's never heard that before, that's a kind of, that's a neat truth to tell them. And they're like, really? Yes, he has said that he is going to come back and receive us to himself. And boy, that's a neat song. It really does point out the truth of the gospel that we're going to look at here this evening. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. All right. How many of you guys were in town and saw him installing the new sign? One. There's a new sign going up in Fort Scott. It says, "Welcome to Fort Scott Historic District." I mean, this thing's big. I'm like looking around like, what are those guys? Oh, my. So maybe my car is really small. I don't know. But I was impressed. I live out here in the country. When I get in the city, I'm like, wow, what's new around here? So pretty cool. So I don't know if they're doing that on the other side. Does anybody know the plan? Is it just one? Just one. Okay. Looks pretty spiff. Maybe they'll put another one up next year. So anyway, that had absolutely nothing to do with the message. Just find a way to get from that to our text here. We're here in James chapter 1, and we're looking at this aspect here in verse 16, where he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." All right, so we want to understand what God's speaking to us in his mind, and he's wanting us not to be deceived, not to make a mistake, and we might be deceived just like Israel was deceived, and we think something that's not true about God. We begin to think that he's up and he's down, he loves me, he loves me not, and the reality is that we may want to tempted to blame God or even be frustrated at God and what he's allowing in our lives. And he says, no, God, every good gift, every source of things that are good are from God himself. And so there's nothing that's good in our lives that's apart from him. And that is his steady, faithful character. He does not change. His heart towards me is one of absolute goodness. And so if God allows a trial into my life, if he takes something away from me, it's because it's good. You know, pain is good. Nobody likes pain. But pain is good. Many things, there's many reasons that you could point to in terms of pain being good, but one of them is, if I didn't have pain, then I wouldn't know something's wrong. And I wouldn't know how to get it taken care of. There's another aspect of pain that I'm listening to a book by an old Puritan preacher. It's on the providence of God. And it's just, I'm just driving today while I was looking at that sign. I was listening to the book, and it was just interesting. He was talking about how God allows us to have pain in his providence to loose our hold upon either the things of this world, in terms of maybe our delights in things become too strong and God can take them away, or even just God prepares us to leave this world and to go into heaven because it gets less and less enjoyable to live on this earth the longer we live. And it may seem kind of like a bummer, and yet God in his providence is able to use all things for good. And God's perfect goodness is seen in this one act. In verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." You know the title that's given to God here in verse 17? He's called a father. And what does a father necessarily have? If you don't have this, you're not a father. Children. And here is God's will, his choice, and there was nothing that forced God to do this. He didn't have to. but out of his own desire and his own will, it says, he has children. He begets. And how does he do that? It says, with the word of truth. If you have something in your Bible there, the word of truth, really, I have a little connecting line from verse 18 all the way down to verse 21. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So, what does it mean? We talk about salvation. Salvation is when you are born again. I was born 39 years ago. getting older and older here. There's a date. I've got a time when I was born, but I was born again 33 years ago. And I went to have a new life, a new creation from God, that He made me anew. I'm born in sin, and I don't have a relationship with God. And I need to be saved because I'm on my way to hell because of my sin. And he said, it's the word of truth that gives us salvation. God, in some ways, like God is He's the one who's begetting us, and yet the word is that very facilitator, that midwife by which all salvation comes. It's by the truth of God's word to us. What is that word of truth? Well, the word of truth always has a negative side, but it's the truth. We may not like to hear it, but it is true, and that is we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned against God. It means that who God is in His goodness and His beauty and His holiness, we're not like that. We disobey, we rebel. He's full of goodness, we're full of evil. And we're filled with pride. And we don't even want to acknowledge our sinfulness. But the Bible says every single one of us have fallen short for the sin of our own lives. The truth also tells us that because of sin, there's a punishment that's coming. God is a just God. And not one sin will ever take place that God will just overlook. There has to be consequences for that. And therefore, the place that was made for the devil and his angels, the place that's called hell, according to the Scripture, a place of everlasting darkness, a place of everlasting fire, the wrath of God burning forever and ever, is where every single creature that God has made that has rebelled against Him must go to that place. That would not be called the good news, would it? If that was all we had to say. But the word of truth says that God so loved the world in that state where we are heading toward hell, that God loved us. He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the key, what God did for us, sending His Son in our place. When He died upon that cross, He became a substitute for all of our wickedness. Our sin was laid upon Him. His righteousness is laid upon us. And it's for all those, He says, who believe on Him. That means you put your trust in Him. You cry out and say, I have no other Savior but You, O God, and I'm coming to You. As we call upon the name of the Lord, He says, you will be saved. And at that very moment that you receive the gospel, you have new life from God inside of you. You are born anew, born from above, born again. And He says, God has a purpose and a plan for everyone. Every one of you who know who I'm talking about right now, God has a plan for you. He says that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, a first fruit is something that comes in terms of it's a harvest, but it's the beginning of the harvest. And so what He's saying here is that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we are the beginning of a greater harvest that's yet to come. And when He says of His creatures, this word creature is the idea of creation. So there's an aspect that's not just, we think of the word creature to mean lots of little creepy, you know, crawly things or peoples or whatever. But this has an idea that matches the entirety of all that God created in the first 6 days of the world. And so what God is saying is, you are the first of something that is going to be completely made renewed. Think about the historic district of Fort Scott. I'm going to tie it in now. How many of you say, I think it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if they renovated the brick roads. All right, got a few hands here. It would be like, in some sense, if they were putting up that sign, they said, this sign is the beginning of a complete renovation of this entire area. Well, I mean, that would be really neat. That'd be really exciting. And there's an aspect here. What he's saying is, you and I are the beginnings of a complete remodel, remake of the entire creation of the world. And that when we are resurrected from the grave, he said that at that moment, in that time, well, at that moment, let's get our chronology here. God, there's going to be something incredibly happen in terms of our resurrection is going to precede the kingdom of the Lord. But at the end of it, when everyone is resurrected, there's going to be what they call the regeneration of the entire world. Matthew chapter 19 talks about this, where everything is going to be recreated. And just like it's all going to be renewed, the curse is going to be gone, and we're going to live on this earth forever and ever, like Revelation 21, 22 talks about. And the aspect is, God's already started the work because he saved you. And you're a part of the new world. You're a part of the kingdom of God because of the transformation. And that's why he's going to talk about saying in verse 21, lay apart all the filthiness and the things that were part of the past and the old world and the naughtiness and the sinfulness that comes out of us, and receive with meekness the word. Because it's that word, just like the word that brought me when I heard it and I believed it and I trusted in God through his word to me, and I stepped over into a completely new creation. In fact, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is because of that reality. And so... I guess the point I want us to see is, maybe if you picture the whole old world in which we're living underneath the curse of sin, put that in black. All of a sudden, the moment I get saved, I've been washed and cleansed and I'm in the white. But as I'm in the white, I'm still living in the black. But I'm looking for the day I belong to, the day when the world is going to be made white and everything's going to be refreshed and renewed. And so there's one thing in this world that's still white. It's this book right here. It was the very thing that when I heard it and I believed it, it made me white by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I'm struggling and I'm having difficulty and I'm having trials in this world, what do I need to do? I've got to run to this book. And that's where he's really going with the rest of these, and next probably verses 19 through 25. All of them have the theme of the Word of God. And it's all working itself in and out of it. And he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That's the key. When God brings something difficult into your life, our desire should be, I really want to hear from God. I need him. There's an implication that God will speak to you. That God is going to use the message that you read in the Word, and you're just reading over it, and these words were here for thousands of years, and yet you read them, and the Holy Spirit takes that word and says, this is for you today, and applies it right into your heart. God can do that through your reading, through listening to a sermon, through Christian music that he's communicating the Word of God, through a Christian brother who's communicating what the Word of God's doing in their life. But wherever the Word of God is transforming and changing, God will take that Word. That's why we need every aspect of what we do. In church services, we hear the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God and speak it to one another through the singing. We have fellowship in which we communicate what God is doing in our lives to one to another. And we ought to have a daily discipline of being in the Word of God every day, listening for God to speak. Because that's the thing that we need the most. The Word of God is the solution to every trial. And it's amazing how one man put it this way: God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. We may not pick up on the voice of God, though He's there, He's wanting to speak to us, He loves us, and He often gives us so many things in our lives that just fill us with joy and happiness. But what do we tend to do? We're too busy to hear the voice of God, but He graciously sends pain into our life, and we perk up our ears. And God, through the din and the noise that's going on around us, He shouts to us for us to hear and to listen to His Word. And so we're going to look at this in terms of what's the opposite of listening to the Word. We're going to see that's being quick to speak and quick to wrath. We're going to look at how God wants us to receive this Word and what it means to be a receiver of the Word. It's not just a hearer of the Word, but it's also a doer as well. So I'm looking forward to kind of compounding these things. And if you're here tonight, you say, I've never had the Word of Truth change me. I don't know what you're talking about, born again. You can know that experience even tonight. Your life can be changed from darkness to light, just like that.